This is our seventh study in the book of James, and we're reading from verse number 22, please. James chapter 1, and reading from the verse number 22. Thank you for coming out, and we trust again that the Lord will bless our coming together this evening. James chapter 1, and reading from the verse number 22, please. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Ending at the end of the chapter, verse number 27, and we look again for the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. We're discovering that James loved the word of God. We learned a lot about his relationship, if you like, his view of the scriptures last week. He reminds us in verse 18, we have received life through the word of God. Of his own will begat us, thus the word that means to be born again. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We're born again through the word of God, that incorruptible seed. And because we have received life through the word, we should love the word. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear the word of God, slow to speak, because if we're speaking, we can't listen. And I think James is encouraging us to take in the word of God and not to be distracted, and then slow to wrath. Don't get angry when God speaks to you. Sometimes people get angry when God speaks, because God often says things that we don't want to hear. We need to hear them. We need to take them on board, but sometimes there's that reluctance to accept God's word, and we can get angry with the word of God. James says we've received life through the word, we should love the word, and we should lay apart anything that hinders the word working in our lives. That's verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart, set apart out of your life totally all filthiness and superfluity, that's excess of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I said that word superfluity was used when the Lord fed the 4,000 and the crumbs remained, and the word just means that which remains. And when we were saved, we bring some of the old nature with us, some of the old things from the past life, things which remain. And like the disciples, when they were picking up the crumbs, tried to make sure they'd get every one as they filled those baskets, we need to examine our lives, and if there's things that remain from the old life, well, we are have them removed. We're to set them aside, that we might receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. It's not talking about soul salvation in the sense of saved for eternity. It's saved from the power of sin. You know that salvation is in three tenses. We're saved from the penalty of sin, that's sort of. We're saved from the very presence of sin. One day we're going to be in glory. But we need to be saved daily from the power of sin. And that's what James is talking about here. We have that through the word of God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We're coming tonight to possibly the best known verses in the book of James. James is not so much interested in what we hear on a Sunday, but rather how we heed it on a Monday. And I entitled this series Great Expectations. We're expected to love the word of God. We're expected to change anything that needs to be changed, that the word of God may be received with meekness. We're expected to obey the word of God, and that's the crux of the verses before us this evening. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I've called this a solemn exhortation. It actually reads like this: keep on striving to be doers of the word. No point marking your Bible if your Bible doesn't mark you. Last week we noticed, we've mentioned it tonight again, that we are to receive the word. It means to welcome the word. And we're not only to welcome the word, we are to be doers of the word. The word doers means the whole person. Sometimes someone can teach, but they're not a teacher. Someone could build, but they're not a builder. Someone could fight in a battle, but they're not a soldier. The idea is here that you're a teacher. In the sense, you're a doer. It's your occupation. It's all you are. It's everything about you. It's the whole person. You are a doer of the word. Obedience should be the common denominator for all believers. And I think James is warning against those who have made a profession, and yet there seems to be no obedience to the word of God. The Lord Jesus said this in Matthew's Gospel. You'll know the story well. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. Those who do the word of God are those who are building on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And James is saying it could be that if we're not living lives that are obedient to the word of God, then there's never been a work of grace in our lives. That's how serious James puts it. That's how solemn James puts it. And indeed John would do the same in his writings. Jesus said, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 12 verse 50. Luke 6 verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I do? In the original, it could be put like this. Keep on showing yourself to be a doer of the word. It's not fits and starts. It's not obeying when it suits us. It's not taking a notion, I'm going to live for the Lord and I'm going to obey the word of God. This is a continual action. Keep on showing yourself to be a doer of the word. Obedience to the word of God is indeed proof that we're truly saved. It's an indication that we truly belong to the Lord. It's good to hear the word of God, good to retain the word of God, good to memorize the word of God, good to mark the word of God, but if we're not a doer of the word of God, this means nothing. You could be a brilliant theologian and be a very poor Christian. James says, don't just be a hearer. Be a doer of the word. He wants us to be doers and not hearers only tonight. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers. The word hearer here is the Greek word where audit comes from. And I always think of auditing, you're going through books and you're adding things up. But apparently, way back in past times, it was something that was done orally. And that's where the word audit comes from, and then it has moved into accountancy. And the idea is someone who listens but really doesn't pay attention or has no responsibility. I was thinking of Marcella, and I know some here know a little bit about it as well. When she was at teaching practice, that's a long, long time ago. I'll only say two longs, because if she listens to this online and said three longs, she'd say you were overdoing it. But just a couple of longs anyway. But I remember when she was going through teaching practice, there would have been somebody sat at the back, and she had to teach the children, and they weren't a bit interested in learning something. They just wanted to see how she would teach and how the children would respond. They were auditing her. They were listening to her, but they weren't really responsible for what she was teaching. They weren't going to learn anything from what she was teaching. Sometimes we can treat the word of God like that. We're hearers only, and we're not taking it in. We're not letting it have any effect on our lives. We sit and listen, but that's as far as it goes. I heard a story today just about books on how to control termites. And someone published these books, and they sent a box of these books to a certain library, and they had stored them somewhere. And when they opened the box, they discovered later on that these little termites actually were in the box and had destroyed all the books. They had all the knowledge, but they had never applied the knowledge. And you can have all the Bible knowledge, and it's good to have Bible knowledge. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, we read in the Old Testament. It's good to have knowledge, but if it's not applied, if it's not obeyed, if we're not doers of the word, if we're just hearers, then it's doing us no good at all. Peter said, he spoke about faith, he spoke about virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness. And these are the things he's talking about. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Peter was into doing and not just listening. You see, this book is like no other book. You can read a cookery book, but you don't have to follow the lessons. You can read a cookery book, but you don't have to cook because of that book. But if you read the Bible, it demands something from you. It demands a response. It demands a change. It's a living book. It's a powerful book. It's like no other book that you can find. There's books that can educate, inspire, inform, and stimulate, amuse, and entertain. But this book makes demands. It demands attention. It demands action. It demands that you and I be doers of the word. This is a solemn exhortation. James has been challenging us about our salvation. And he challenges us about our response to trials in the early part of the book. You remember, we are to rejoice when these trials come. He challenges us about how we deal with temptation. Here he's challenging us whether we're hearers or doers of the word. It's like an examination that James is putting us through. Are we doers or are we just hearers of the word? James 1:22, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And this is why it's so serious. See the word deceiving, it's a mathematical word. It means to calculate. It's a serious miscalculation to hear the word and not to be a doer of the word. Nobody likes to be deceived, but here it says you're deceiving your own self. If we're listening to the word of God, if we're going through the process of listening to the word of God, but we're not actually applying it, we're deceiving ourselves. There's no progress. There might be a process, but there's no progress. There can only be progress when we respond to the word of God. There's often arguments about translations of the Bible. Of course, I'm a King James man. This is the greatest translation, the Douhr translation. Because it doesn't matter what translation you carry, if you have this translation, then you might as well have no Bible. The Douhr translation. It's a serious miscalculation. We're deceiving ourselves if we think we can be hearers only and not doers of the word. Someone has written, it is easier to preach than to practice. It is easier to say than to do. Most sermons are heard by the many, but taken to heart by the few. If you read the word of God and God challenges you and there's something that you need to do, if we don't, then it leads to discouragement and despondency. Someone has said impression must have expression or it leads to depression. It's not about a sentimental admiration of the preacher. It's not enjoying mental stimulation through the preaching of the word of God. It's not having a good feeling because you've discovered a new truth. It's all a deception if we're not doers of the word of God. Are you deceiving yourself tonight? Jesus said in John 8 verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Are we deceiving ourselves about our faith in the Lord Jesus? I looked at the word deceive throughout the word of God. There's a number of things that we could deceive ourselves about. We could deceive ourselves about our sin. 1 John 1 verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. A man's deceived when he thinks himself to be wise with worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. A man's deceived when he thinks the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. A man's deceived if he thinks that evil company will not corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. A man is deceived if he thinks he won't, if he thinks himself to be something when he's nothing. Galatians 6 verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceives himself if he thinks he'll not reap what he sows. Be not deceived. Galatians 6 verse 7. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A man's deceived if you look down at verse 26. If he thinks he can say what he wants with his tongue. If any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. And we'll say a bit more about that in a moment. And here a man's deceived if he's a hearer and not a doer of the word. It's a solemn exhortation tonight. Then we move secondly onto what I've called a sad evasion. Look at verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And James gives us an illustration here to drive the point home. He has a man, some suggest it should have been a woman, but men are as interested in their appearance in this day and age as women. We find a man glancing into a mirror, and he glances, he notices, but he just goes his way, and he straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Sometimes you hear the expression, a lick and a promise. This was a look and a promise. He just looked, but he did nothing about his appearance. Now, if we all did that, on a Sunday morning, dear knows what would turn up here. You wouldn't want the man on the pulpit anyway if he didn't have a look in the mirror and make sure that the appearance, well, was as good as it possibly could be. I often tell you the story about the lady who told me I was no oil painting, and so I have no illusions of beauty. But anyway, I do the best I can to look the best I can when I can. But here's a man, he glances into the mirror, it gives a reflection of what he sees, but he just walks away and he straightway forgets what manner of man he is. The word natural face there means the face you're born with. Some people have tried to change the face they're born with and they go for cosmetic surgery. Someone recently spent $50,000 to get a smaller nose and get the wrinkles out. But you know, you could get your face changed a lot cheaper than that through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Because the real change must come from the inside. And if we look and we do nothing about it, then we're deceiving ourselves. The mirror is not really what we want to be caught up in. We're not looking for the beauty of the mirror. We want to see what the mirror has to say. And that's why we look at it in the morning or whenever we look at it. It speaks here of forgetting. He straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. It's not absent-mindedism, and that sometimes happens. I find this more and more. Sometimes I lift the phone to ring someone and I can't remember even who it was going to ring. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about someone who sees and just goes away and ignores it. He just forgets what he has saw. He forgets what he has seen. He's just a hearer and not a doer. What a sad evasion of the truth. Jeremiah 44 verse 16. As for the word which I have spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. Ezekiel 33 verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear my words, thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. How sad that we could sit and listen and learn and fail to live as God's word directs us. It's said of Edison that he had the sketch or the diagram drawn for the first phonographic machine where he was going to play sound. He gave it to a man and the man says, this won't work. He says, look, you just make it. Follow my diagram and build it as I've shown and let's see what happens. And God says, here's my plan to build your life. And you can argue against it, you can neglect it, you can turn your back on it, but it's still the same plan. It's the only plan and it's the best plan for you to have your life built in a way that glorifies the Lord. You see, if you're a forgetful hearer of the word, there's so much that you miss out on. Come over to Psalm 119 just for a moment. There's only two or three verses here I want you to see. It's the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible. And of course, it speaks often of the word of God. And forgetting or not forgetting its precepts, there's a couple of little points I want to pull out of it here. What benefit is there from not forgetting the word of God? Psalm 119 and verse 83. These verses sometimes seem strange to us because of the pictures that David is painting here. Psalm 119 verse 83. David says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about a wineskin, and they used to hang them up in the little tents, and the fires would be burning and the smoke would go around them and the smoke would pollute them, and if something wasn't done they would become useless. And I think David is saying we're living in the midst of a dirty world, a filthy world, and how can we survive in a world like this? How can we avoid failing in our lives? Look at verse 83. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. I'm surrounded by the filth and the pollution of the world, yet do I not forget thy statutes. He remembered the word of God. He was holding on to the word of God. The word of God will keep us from the world's contamination. Keeps us from failing. It helps us with fear in our lives. Look down to verse 109 in the same chapter. My soul is continually in my hand. See Psalm 119, verse 109. It's a Hebrew expression. It's a little bit like the English, my heart's in my mouth. My soul is continually in my hand. There's real fear here. What's the remedy for fear? Yet do I not forget thy law. What's the greatest help for fear? The word of God. You see, when it comes to feeling, when it comes to fear, see, when it comes to our feebleness, look on down the chapter to verse 141. The psalmist says, I am small, I'm inferior, I am despised, I'm scorned. But he says, I'm smart, yet do I not forget thy precepts. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I know sometimes we're always telling God's people, you know, not to have a high opinion of themselves, and that's absolutely spot on. But let's not forget who our Saviour is. And let's not forget that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. David says, I might be small, I might be despised, but I don't forget thy precepts. I know what God is able to do with my feeble life. Are you afraid of failing? Is there fear? Is there feebleness? Well, you want to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And James, and back in James chapter 1, is talking about the mirror of the word of God. The Bible, like the divine x-ray machine. And if you go for an x-ray and you get the picture or whatever they give you, and you look at it and you tear it up and you say you're not interested in it, well, you'll be a fool. An absolute fool. This book tells it as it is. I remember the day I was married, quite a while ago. And remember, the photographer says, if you stand on your side, you look thinner. So if anybody wants my photograph, I usually stand to the side. Don't know where it works or not, but that's what he said. When you see, when you come to this mirror, doesn't matter what angle you go to, you're going to see the same thing. You can't angle your way out of this mirror. No matter what way you look at it, you'll see it as it is. Peter discovered this in Luke 5. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. There's a number of times in Scripture when the Bible is compared to a looking glass, or there's a hint of a looking glass, if you like. When we think of the tabernacle, in Exodus 30 verse 18, thou shalt make a laver of brass. This is the brazen laver. This would be sitting in front of the tabernacle, and the priests would wash in it before they would do anything for the Lord. And I believe it speaks of the word of God. Paul said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Before they would do anything, they'd have the cleansing of the water. And we need the cleansing of the word of God. In Leviticus 8 verse 11, we read that the altar, this brazen altar, was anointed with oil. Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the word of God not only has that cleansing effect, it's inspired by the Spirit of God. When you read about them moving the furniture of the tabernacle, the laver was never covered. We have an open book. There's only one laver, the word of God. We have only one Bible. And there are many ways in which the laver would speak of the word of God. But do you know what they made the laver out of? Exodus 38 verse 8. And they made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the woman assembly. They took the looking glasses. Now, these wouldn't be glass as we know it. They would have been brass that would be polished until they were able to see their image in the brass. They were something they would use to look to themselves and to see how things were. Now they had surrendered that, and they were going to look to God and see how he would see things. Because it's not your opinion tonight. We'll see a wee bit more about that in a moment. It's God's opinion. And this laver was made of the brass of the looking glasses. Again, a wonderful picture of the word of God. You see, the word of God shows us as we are, and the word of God has that cleansing effect. I remember a preacher once, you know, the old pans they used to try and get the gold with, and they would take the pan and they would shake it and the water would run through it. And he says it's a little bit like that. When you're reading the word of God, it has that cleansing effect. You may not even understand that. You may not realize it. But the word of God has that continual cleansing effect in our lives. Not only does the word of God show us what we're like, does the word of God cleanse us, But the word of God changes us. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, this is what Paul said. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and here's the looking glass again, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Vernon McGee translates it like this. Beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. As we gaze into the Word of God, as we really look into the Word of God, we see Christ from Genesis to Revelation. And the more we study the Lord, the more we get to know the Lord, the more we resemble the Lord. There's a story told about an old Scotsman was dying, and somebody went up to him and says, "You haven't long left." Well, some people have no tact at all. He says, "You haven't long left." And they said to him, "Hope you get a wee glimpse of the Lord when you're going through the valley." He says, "Away with your wee glimpses. I want a full view of the Lord." And it's a full view of the Lord you get in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, in types and shadows and parallels. And the more you study the Lord, the more you take on the appearance of the Lord. There was a little lad who lived in a village, and there was an old rock formation, and they used to say that this was a man's face, old stone face. And legend had it that one day old stone face would come to the village. The wee boy was fascinated by this. And he would look at this and look at it and look at it. And he eventually became an old man, and he was walking down the village, and some children come out and said, "Look, there's old stone face." The more he looked and the more he looked, he took on the appearance of that which he looked upon so often. And if we open the Word of God and study the Word of God and are doers of the Word of God, then we're changed and we become more and more and more like Christ. This book shows us, it cleanses us, and it changes us. Look at James 1 verse 24 again. This is a sad evasion that we're thinking of tonight. Sometimes they tear up the x-ray, and they don't want the help from the great physician. James 1 verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. And I was just thinking about that today. I know that that's not the intent in the original. But you look at yourself and you just go your own way, not God's way. And that's really the forgetful hearer. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When we consider the manner of man that Christ was, same phrase is used. And yet we could look into the Word of God, ignore what we see, and become hearers and not doers. What a sad evasion that is. You see the solemn exhortation. You see the sad evasion. And then there's something expedient here. Look at verse 25. There's a but here. There's a change here. This is a different man. There's two men here. The first man, he has a glance into the mirror of God's Word. He walks away. He knows what's there, but he just forgets what's there. He has chosen to forget what God has sent them, but not this man. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his day. This is what James wants from the child of God. You see the word look here, it's a different word. It's used in Luke 24, verse 12. When Peter ran to the sepulchre and he stooped down. It's the word to stoop down. It's used of Mary in John 20 verse 11. Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked in. You're going down and you're really looking. And I can see Peter as he would look into the sepulchre. He would look at every nook and every cranny. He wouldn't want to miss a thing. This is not a casual glance. This is not like the old Bill Cream ad, "A dab will do." This is someone who really gets into the Word of God, who looks into the Word of God and really wants to hear what God has to say. And I think that the stooping down here would speak of coming humbly, coming with the right attitude to hear the Word of God. It's carefully considering the Word of God, carefully examining the Word of God. We don't look at a signpost and say, "What a lovely signpost." We want to get some directions from the signpost. And this is what we're looking for in the Word of God. We're looking for truth and for guidance. And this book meets every need and touches every part of our lives. Look again at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect. It's complete, it's sufficient, it's comprehensive. It's without error, it's flawless. You're not getting anything better. The perfect law of liberty. That seems a paradox, doesn't it? Law and liberty. But this book sets us free. Free from sin and free from bondage and free from slavery. The truth sets us free. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Again, it's not a one-off. It's not an emotional experience. It's not an emotional response. This is a way of life. He's a doer of the word, this man. He looks into the word of God. God reveals something and he applies it to his life. And he's a doer of the word. He, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, the work, this man shall be blessed in his day. Notice it talked about a doer of the word and a doer of the work. If you're a doer of the word, you'll be a doer of the work. The two things will go hand in hand. But there's that little bit at the end. Shall be blessed in his deed. Blessed in our doings for the Lord. Blessed in whatever we do for the Lord. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. There's the to do, according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only time you'll find success in the Bible is Joshua 1 verse 8. And it's time to doing the word of God. His delight, the psalmist said, Psalm 1, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see the solemn exhortation, be doers. You see the sad evasion, straightway forgetteth. Just a casual glance to pass themselves. You see something expedient. You see someone who's a doer of the word of God. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And then you have the sure evidence to finish with. We'll do this very quickly. Because James is a practical book. And he brings some practical evidence that you're a doer of the word of God. If you look into the perfect law of liberty and you're a doer of the word of God, there are a few things here that James says will be evident in your life. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. There are three words here. The word seem to be religious. The word deceive, it's possible to deceive ourselves, even our own heart. And the word vain, which means empty or useless. We don't want to be in that category. So we would want to be sure this evening. The word religion here speaks of the outward trappings or religious ceremony. It's all about outward things. If any man seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Now, what are the three tests? First of all, there's the listening test. Remember what we said on Sunday morning about the book of Haggai? This people say that the Lord is saying, listen to yourselves. And here's the same thing again. If any man among you seem to be religious, if you're professing to know the Lord, and bridleth not his tongue. It means to curb the tongue, to control the tongue. Now, James is going to say a lot about the tongue when we get to chapter 3, so I don't want to spend too much time on it this evening. But what James is saying, if you look into the mirror of the word of God, and you become a doer of the word, it'll affect your tongue. You'll not be loose with your tongue. You'll not be careless with your tongue. It'll change if you listen to what you say. If you listen to how you say it, to who you say it to, the way you say it. It'll let you know whether you're a doer or just a hearer of the word of God. You see, the listening test. And then comes the love test in verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. And remember I said about God's opinion. It's before God and the Father. What you think doesn't matter. And what others think doesn't matter. This is God's opinion tonight. Pure religion and undefiled. The real McCoy before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Visit means to take care of. And the early church had a ministry for widows and a ministry for needs. I know there was no welfare state then. Things perhaps are different here, but it doesn't absolve us as our responsibility to love each other and to care for each other and to look out for each other. You see, you have the love test. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love you have one to another. And so tonight you want to have the listening test. What about my tongue? You want to have the love test. Do I care about others? Have I a burden for other people, within the assembly here and even beyond. There's the listening test, there's the love test, and then there's the life test, verse 27. Pure religion, that means clean and undefiled. You see the word undefiled, it means unstained. I am always getting stains on the shirt. Always. Sometimes I think I would need to wear a bib, but that's another story. But you know, if you have a stain in your shirt, it just spoils everything, doesn't it? You know, you're conscious of the stain. Well, can you imagine going to the Lord with stains? We should be as conscious as that. We should be as embarrassed about going to the Lord. Pure religion and unstained, undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This is the life test. What's your relationship with the world tonight? There are three steps in the believer's relationship with the world. Three steps that he should never take. Step one is James 4 verse 4. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The first thing is friendship of the world. And I'll say what the world is in a moment. You become a friend of the world. Step two then takes it a little bit further. 1 John 2 verse 15. Love not the world nor the things that are in the world. You become a friend of the world, then you love the world. Step one, a friend to the world. Step two, love the world. And then step three is Romans 12 verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. You become conformed to the world. Starts off being a friend of the world, moves to loving the world, and then you become like the world. Now when we talk about the world, we're talking about the world's philosophy, the world's morality, or lack of it, the world's ethics, the world's values. And if we fall in love with their values, if we become a friend of it, and then we fall in love with it, and then soon we become conformed to it. That's the opposite of being a doer of the word of God. The listening test, the love test, and the life test. There used to be an old preacher, F.W. Dixon. Some of you may remember him. Some of you may even have got his old sermon notes. He used to send them out, and I have a copy of all his notes at home. And he said of this verse, he said, if you are a doer of the word, you'll have a controlled tongue. You'll have a compassionate heart and a consecrated life. And you can't do any better than that, too. Great expectations. But then we've got a great Saviour. I was thinking of the listening test, the love test, and the life test. And I said, I'll put the Lord Jesus through this. Put the listening test to him. Never man spake like this man. Put the love test to him. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Put the life test to him. He was a lamb without blemish and without spot. If we want to be Christ-like, then we have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. John MacArthur says it's not our perfection that proves our salvation. Don't get that into your head tonight. It's our reaction to the imperfections. And if God reveals imperfections, how we react to those imperfections is a strong indicator of where we really stand before the Lord. If we straightway forgetteth what manner of man we are, then we've got a serious heart problem. And we need to do something about it. There's an old Scottish preacher, and he preached a sermon one time, and a young man went up and said, I really enjoyed that sermon. He says, what are you going to do about it? He was very shy. And you know, tonight as you listen to the word of God, and we're told to be hearers, to be doers and not hearers only, we could ask the question, well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to become the doer of the word of God? Are you going to just have the casual glance? Are you going to stoop down and really get into this book and become a doer of the word of God? Who do you share your deepest secrets with? I would suggest it's the one you spend most time with. It's the one you love the most and the one you're closest to. If you want to know the deeper secrets of the word of God, who's the Lord going to share them with? He's going to share them with those who spend the most time with him. who love him the most and are doers of this book? Could he share his secrets with you or with me this evening? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this evening. And Lord, what a challenge it is. So often, Lord, it's easy to listen and to be a hearer. Lord, to even deceive ourselves. And Lord, to go through the process and think we're making progress. And Lord, we're only deceiving ourselves. Lord, help us to be doers and not just hearers only. And Lord, if you've spoken to us through thy word this evening, if we've been looking into this looking glass, and Lord, we can see what we're really like, what we're really like before God. Help us, Lord, to take the necessary steps, whatever that happens to be, that it can never be said of us that we're hearers only and not doers of this precious book. Give us the grace to obey, for we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. I'm going to sing a few verses, and I'll go to the door, and then Ronnie will come and bring the prayer request. Number 414, "More About Jesus Would I Know. More of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me." 414, we'll stand to sing just the first and the last verse. I'll go to the door if anyone has to leave, and then Ronnie will come and bring the necessary announcements. 414, thank you. First and last verse.